Welcome on into Locked On Cougars. I'm Jay Catch, your host here on this daily podcast focused on all things BYU sports. Big show today. We have two interviews we're going to play for you that I had a chance to talk to some coaches at National Signing Day yesterday down at BYU. So in the first segment, you'll hear from passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach Aaron Roderick. Had some great thoughts on Jacob Conover, the incoming quarterback for BYU, as well as looking ahead to spring ball with Zach Wilson limited and also the opportunity for other quarterbacks to make an impression. So that'll be the first segment. Second segment, the running back position has been one that's been very hotly debated by BYU fans. Why isn't BYU getting a running back in this recruiting class? Well, I caught up with running backs coach AJ Stewart to talk about just that and also talk a little bit about the other running backs on the roster. So you'll hear that in the second segment. And then finally, we'll catch you up on everything else going on in BYU sports. Another tough loss for BYU men's volleyball last night that we need to cover for you, as well as giving you the schedule for tonight's sporting events involving BYU sports teams, including men's basketball at Portland. That'll be all coming up in the third segment of the show. Thanks again for joining me. A reminder for you guys, if you listen to this podcast, you can make it real easy on yourself by using your smart speaker to do all the hard work for you. All you have to do is tell it play podcast Locked On Cougars and you'll have the latest in BYU news right there for you. All right, without further ado, let's get going. This is Locked On Cougars for February 7th, 2019. All right, National Signing Day was yesterday. BYU wrapped up their class, or have they? That's a big question. Will they go out and find somebody on the transfer portal? If you didn't have a chance to hear all of the press conference audio with Kalani Sitake, Jeff Grimes, Ed Lamb, and Elisa Tuiaki, you can go to 1280thezone.com and hear the full press conference. It was about 28 minutes in length. Some great answers, some great insight from the coaches on certain players, as well as philosophy when it comes to recruiting for BYU. So go there to check that out. I had a chance to speak after the press conference with BYU passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach Aaron Roderick. I love Aaron's just straightforward style when you interview him. You ask him a question, he gives you a good answer. He's not a guy that gives you a canned response. He makes sure he's pretty thoughtful with his responses. He lets you kind of have some insight into how he thinks about things, how things work. So I had a chance to speak with him about Jacob Conover, BYU's star recruit in this recruiting class. We also talked about spring ball, the fact that Zach Wilson will be limited, won't be throwing in spring ball, and the opportunity it creates for the other quarterbacks on the roster. You'll be interested to hear there are three quarterbacks in Coach Roderick's mind that will be getting the lion's share of the reps this spring, if not all of them. He was very straight up about it. You'll hear that here in this interview, but I appreciate him taking the time to talk with me. Like I said, Coach Roderick, always thoughtful with his responses, so let's get to it without further ado. Here's Aaron Roderick with myself yesterday at National Signing Day.
You have one quarterback in this class, yeah. Jacob Conover, yeah. Going on a mission, and we've talked about him in the past, but what about him sets him apart that you guys wanted him so badly in this class?
He's just a winner, man. He won like crazy. You know, he threw for 10,000 yards in 3 years and over 10,000 yards and over 100 touchdowns in three seasons, and you know, just multiple state championships, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of Arizona high school football. But what I love about him is just he's got a leadership ability. He's got a personality where he has a ton of confidence, but he also it's not obnoxious. It's the kind of confidence that people want to follow, and he's a deadly accurate thrower. I mean, the ball placement for a guy his age is really impressive. And so, you know, he's going to be a couple years, but we went all in on him from day one. He's the only quarterback we even offered in this class. We had, so, you know, usually you offer several and hope to get one. Yeah. We went all in just on him. Mm-hmm. It was all or nothing. And we got him. So we're pretty excited about it.
I've seen other quarterbacks that put up, you see that he tallied 10,000 yards, 100 touchdowns, but you might answer that question, but what about him with his skill set put up those stats, but he also has the skill set you believe that can succeed at this level?
Yeah, good point, because it's not just stats. There's a lot of good quarterbacks that have numbers. What it was about him is just his accuracy and his release is flawless, and his accuracy is I just can't say enough about it. I mean, watching him throw with his arm at different angles or on balance, off balance, pass rush in his face, doesn't matter. He puts the ball in places that are just really, really hard to coach. I mean, guys, just he's just got it, and he's got that thing that the great ones have. And you know, I don't want to talk him up too much before he does anything here, but he has a chance to be a really good player.
Does he? And I know that any given play could change this whole thing, but does he set up a plan for you guys looking forward? Of okay, Zach Wilson, we were planning on here, and then he kind of is the, I guess, natural successor if it plays out how you expect it to.
Well, you try to have what I'm trying to establish is a pool of quarterbacks that aren't all the same age, but where we have depth. We have, you know, I'm trying to have, excuse me, I'm trying to have four good players at all times that are spread out by grade as much as possible. That's not always going to be, but you want to have a competitive group, but also a situation where everybody in the group has hope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think we have that right now because we have Zach. Mm-hmm. Even though Zach's young, Jaren Hall's a very good player. Very good player, and he's going to get a lot of work this spring, and he got in a couple games last year, but we were still able to redshirt him.
Yeah.
So now Jaren is actually a year behind Zach in school, even though he's older than him. And then, you know, we want to keep building that pool, so then when Conover comes home or when the next quarterback in the next class comes up, I'd like to have a nice distribution there where there's competition, but they're not all stacked on top of each other in the same grade.
You talked about Zach. He's not expected to throw, I guess at least throw in spring ball. But
yeah.
With Jaren also playing baseball, how are you balancing all that?
So, Jaren, the first to answer your question, your first question yeah. is that Zach was injured in high school.
Okay.
Knew about the injury. Didn't just play through it. You know, he just dealt with it. He just got in the habit of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the season, the decision was made with a bunch of people involved
yeah.
that might as well just fix it right now. You know, for the best thing for him in the long term, let's just fix it right now. So he should be just fine. And I'm not even worried about it. It's going to cost him a little bit of work this spring, but it gives Jaren Hall a great chance to really improve as well. And then the second part of your question was I forgot.
Jaren is playing baseball.
Oh yeah, Jaren playing baseball.
It?
Yeah, it won't conflict at all. He's not going to miss any football. So all of his baseball stuff will be you know, I encourage it. I love it. I think baseball is great. I think it's great, especially for quarterbacks. I think, you know, in baseball, when you're pitching and batting, there's nowhere to hide. You know, when you're at the plate, there's nowhere to hide. It's a great test of mental toughness and competitiveness that I think transfers over to playing quarterback. So I love the fact that he's doing it, and it's not going to conflict with football.
With the other quarterbacks on the roster, we're talking about Joe Critchlow, Baylor Romney, yeah. Stacey Connors. Does this also open an opportunity for those guys to show what they can do as well?
Joe and Baylor, mm-hmm. yeah, we'll have a good competition with those guys.
Okay.
Jaren, Joe, and Baylor will get all the reps.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. I would envision those three guys getting the reps this spring.
Is Stacey moving positions then, or is it still up in the
He's
air?
Still at quarterback okay. right now. It's just a long ways away.
Okay. All right, there you go, Aaron Roderick. Thank him for taking the time. And there you go. You have it. Jaren Hall, Joe Critchlow, and Baylor Romney will be the guys getting the reps in spring ball with Zach Wilson out due to a shoulder surgery that underwent. You heard Coach Roderick say that it was something that it was a lot of people were involved in the decision for Zach to undergo surgery. They felt like it was in his best interest to get the procedure done
now, get it all cleaned up, make sure it wasn't an issue going forward. And that's similar to kind of my thinking when we talked about this on the podcast when the news broke about it. I felt like it was probably something that a lot of people weighed in on, and they decided, let's just take care of it now. And that's exactly what Coach Roderick confirmed there. But he did say that Jaren Hall, he will not miss any baseball, he won't miss football spring practices for anything baseball-wise. I know Mike Littlewood does like to have guys that are committed, so I'm sure they're working out the schedule, but hats off to Jaren Hall for being able to balance both of them, because this is a big opportunity for him alongside Joe Critchlow and Baylor Romney to make an impression on Coach Roderick and Coach Grimes during spring camp, which starts in just under a month, March 4th. Things will get underway in Provo with spring camp. We'll be covering it for you as it gets closer with spring ball, but big thanks to Aaron Roderick for taking the time. You can tell he is just a big fan of what Jacob Conover can do on the football field, and that should be music to BYU fans' ears, because everything that BYU has built their reputation on is mainly having a stellar standout quarterback that can lead the way. You think in BYU history, when BYU has had a standout quarterback, we're talking an NFL prospect, they have done extremely well for themselves, and that holds true for the last 40 or so years, because when they've had a transcendent player at the quarterback position, BYU usually wins, and they win at a pretty good clip. And I think Zach Wilson is the next guy in line, but it looks like it could set up for Jacob Conover to be in line as well. All right, we will step aside here. We need to talk about BYU running backs. I also had a chance yesterday to catch up with BYU running backs coach AJ Stewart. You'll hear from him next about BYU's plan to go out and find a running back who can help bolster the position group. You'll hear that next right here on Locked On Cougars. You are Locked On Cougars, and this is your daily podcast focused on all things BYU sports. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It helps us out. Whichever podcatcher you use, the iOS app, Google Store, whatever you use, Stitcher, Spotify, please subscribe to the podcast. Also, rate and review it. Give us that 5-star review if you don't mind. And it really does help the podcast in terms of its growing popularity. If you didn't have a chance to catch yesterday's podcast, it was a longer than normal podcast, but I sat down after National Signing Day with Sean Walker and talked a lot about BYU's signings. You heard from BYU wide receivers coach Fessy Satake. We also talked about some of the other local guys that committed elsewhere and how it might affect BYU going forward. So I'd encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, it went up late afternoon because we had to wait until the press conference was over, etc. But I would encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast. Now, of course, BYU did not have a running back on the roster in terms of what they announced yesterday for recruits. We all know that Alec Mesa has committed as a preferred walk-on out of Scottsdale Community College. They're also bringing back Jackson McChesney off of a mission. You'll hear Coach Stewart, AJ Stewart, the running backs coach for BYU, talk about what he has seen on film from McChesney in particular here in a moment. But you also will hear right up front, I asked him first question, you always don't have a running back on this release. I know that people have thought that Javel Brown likely could be a running back option. We talked a little bit about him as well. But you'll hear Coach Stewart explain exactly how BYU is going to go about trying to bolster the running back position group and how long they're willing to wait to make sure they get the right guy in place. So here you go. AJ Stewart, BYU running backs coach, with me yesterday after National Signing Day press conference at BYU in Provo.
First things first, we don't see a running back on the release in terms of the recruiting class this year. How active have you guys been? Do you expect to sign somebody maybe down the road here?
Simply put, we're going to recruit all the way up until camp, you know, and so we'll exhaust every option in recruiting, and we're trying to field the best players on our roster that we can, and so we'll go all the way down for this class until the last second possible if need be, and that's kind of our approach. We have really really good talent in our room right now, young talent. Really, Katoa is probably the most proven guy right now, but the future's bright for our group. And, you know, those guys are willing and able to get accomplished the things that we're asking them to do. So we're not at like a red alert type situation right now, as I think some people outside looking in think. But we're always going to leave no stone unturned in this recruiting process to make sure that we get the right guys here.
You graduated some big contributors in Squally and also Matt, who came on late, of course, making the move over. What excites you about Lopini, his ability, just him alone right there?
You know what you're going to get out of him every single day. He's consistent. I mean, he works hard every day. He focuses. He leads. He plays as hard as he can, you know, and that's really all you can ask for. The talent speaks for itself. He wouldn't be here at BYU if he didn't have the talent. And so everything that he's accomplished up to this point has just been a byproduct of his hard work. So I don't expect anything less than that for the next 3 years that he's here.
Tyler Allgeier was a preferred walk-on a year ago, but we've heard a lot of good things about him. We saw him contribute a little bit last season. What do you expect from him coming up?
I expect him to continue to develop into the type of running back that he's capable of becoming. Mm-hmm. He scratched the surface a little bit this year, was able to play a few games, but also still redshirt, so I think that was great for him. But the sky's going to be the limit for him. He has the talent. He works hard. He's willing to do whatever we ask him to do in order to be successful, and we're going to continue to build him up into the running back that he wants to be.
You mentioned that you guys are going to leave any stone unturned. Does that include regarding graduate transfers, the transfer portal, all that stuff? You'll look at everything you possibly can do?
Anything we can do within the legal limits of recruiting, we'll make sure we try to get accomplished during this next stretch before camp.
We saw Jackson McChesney. He's a local kid. He went on a mission. So you didn't recruit him per se, but have you seen his film? What do you see from him?
I like his. I've definitely seen his film a number of times. He's a physical player. He's got great speed, dynamic. He's very athletic. So I'm excited to get him here. I haven't met him before, but I'm glad that they recruited him to come here. I think he's going to help us a lot. Depending on I'm not sure when he gets back from his mission. If he gets back late enough, you know, it'll probably take a little while for him to get back in shape and, you know, learn the offense and things like that. But if he can play four games, you know, as a freshman like Tyler did last year, I think he could help us. But he definitely has the skill set that I would have looked for if he was in this class, you know.
You being a guy who came in from the outside, you came from Rice, so I don't think you really had much familiarity with LDS missions before you got here. But now that you've kind of been in it for a year or two here, how do you see it as an advantage? Also, how do you see it just in terms of recruiting? How do you balance all of it?
I think it's an advantage just because, for number one, we're getting guys here that want to be at BYU, you know, and so the more you can build your program around guys like that, that's a great foundation to have. If you're a great player 2 years ago, then you're going to be a great player when you get back, you know, from your mission. And so I think it's great. I think it's great for our program. The maturity that the guys have when they get here, the life experience they come here prepared with, their mental toughness is usually a little bit higher than a normal freshman because they've, had to make some really big sacrifices, up to that point. So I think it's definitely an advantage from that standpoint. Athletically, I don't think it's an advantage because they haven't played football for 2 years. But from a maturity standpoint, and they probably really miss football, you know, when they come back. So you don't really have to get those guys going and make them work hard. They're usually just grateful to be out there and be a back part of football.
There you go, AJ Stewart. Thank him for taking the time, and you heard him. They will go as long as they possibly can go. The funny thing a lot of people don't realize maybe is that the National Signing Day that was yesterday, it actually opens up a 2-month window that high school prospects and JC prospects that can qualify actually can sign with a program. So BYU technically now has 2 months to look for a high school recruit that maybe slipped through the cracks or find a JC guy who may be a late qualifier, etc. They also could be big players in the transfer portal, graduate transfer and undergrad transfers. Either way, they'll find somebody. Be heard, AJ Stewart said they will chase finding a running back that they believe can be a difference maker for them, can help bolster the running back position group until the last possible second. I think that should be music to BYU fans' ears that have been a little wary of what BYU might be doing with that running back group. So I think it's good news that they're going to work on it. I know that this staff has been very diligent about going out and trying to find guys. They struck out on a number of them during the recruiting process for whatever reason. Not a good fit for BYU. A kid ultimately deciding he wants to go elsewhere. Whatever it was, BYU has struck out on a bunch of guys, but they will continue to swing until they do land that home run back that they feel like they can use. You heard him talk about Jackson McChesney. He feels like he's a good option coming back off a mission. Of course, Jackson will have to get into shape. I would expect he's probably a redshirt candidate. It participates maybe in 3 to 4 games, but keeps his freshman year intact. I really like Alec Mesa's film, though. I've talked about him on the podcast in the past. We talked about him last week after his commitment to BYU. He's not a burner. He doesn't have a lot of top-end speed, but what he does have is he's willing to stick his nose between the tackles and grind out tough yards, and I think that could be a good thing for BYU. All right, so we'll keep you updated, as we always do, with recruiting. If anything comes out about the running backs, we'll be all over it. We'll kind of be turning our attention to the 2020 recruiting class as well. Now with signing day having really wrapped up BYU's recruiting class, but we'll have it all covered for you here on Locked On Cougars. We will step aside here. We'll come back on the other side, talk about the other sports in BYU's athletic department, game for BYU men's basketball and women's basketball, big games for both of them tonight. Also a tough loss for men's volleyball overnight last night. We'll talk about all that next in Quick Hits right here on Locked On Cougars. As we close out today's edition of the podcast, I wanted to give a special shout out to Aaron Roderick and AJ Stewart. Thanks again to them for joining me. And also a shout out just for yesterday, Sean Walker spending nearly 45 minutes talking BYU recruiting with me. Go back and listen to that podcast, our signing day extravaganza podcast that we did in collaboration with the KSL Campus Report. And Sean, appreciate him taking the time. All right, a lot of games going on tonight. Also a result from overnight. We'll start off with that. Men's volleyball. I'm not sure what's up with this team, but they suffered their third straight sweep loss as they lost to number 5 Pepperdine in Malibu 3-0. Wasn't particularly competitive, so BYU's got to figure something out. They started off the season with aplomb, 2 big wins over Ohio State and Ball State, but all of a sudden, they can't seemingly win a game, so they're going to have to figure out what's going on. They're back in action on Saturday. We'll keep you updated on that as we go forward, but hopefully they can get back to winning. They take on number 4 UCLA on Saturday night in Los Angeles at the John Wooden Center. That's at 8 o'clock Mountain Time on Saturday. Now, shifting gears to games today, we actually have the women's softball team kicking off their season south of the border. They are in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. They'll be taking on South Carolina at 10 a.m. Central Time, so 9 a.m. Mountain Time this morning. You can actually catch a live stream online if you go to the BYU Cougars website. Flow Softball will have a live stream of that. They'll follow that up with a game at 2 o'clock against Baylor, also there in Puerto Vallarta, live stream as well on Flow Softball. So best of luck to Gordon Eakin's squad as they start their season. Nice warm there in Puerto Vallarta. I'm guessing it's probably around 70, 80 degrees down there. So best of luck to them. Women's basketball is in action this morning, actually, at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. It's their annual Kids Day with thousands of elementary school children from all over Utah Valley heading to the Marriott Center to watch the women's basketball team take on the St. Mary's Gales. This game will be televised on BYU TV. Once again, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. You can get tickets, I still believe, even if you wanted to go out to this, you can still get some tickets. A lot of screaming kids. It's one of the loudest environments that the women will play in all year long, but always a cool annual event that they do. And then also today, this late night tonight, men's basketball will be in action. They're on the road at Portland, taking on the Portland Pilots. An opportunity here for BYU to pile up a couple of wins with a game at Portland tonight, and then also coming home to face Pacific on Saturday. These are two games BYU does need to capture if they want to stay in that hunt for kind of those top two, three seeds in the West Coast Conference tournament coming up. If you finish in the top two, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you get that double bye immediately into the semifinals. That would be massive if BYU could claw their way to second behind Gonzaga and at least avoid the first two rounds of the West Coast Conference tournament, give themselves that fighting chance to potentially steal an NCAA bid. But they got to take care of business. 9 o'clock tonight on the road in Portland at the Childs Center. ESPN2 is where you can watch it. You also can hear it on the BYU Sports Network, BYU Radio, Sirius XM. They also have it over the air on KSL 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, or you can go to the BYU Radio Terrestrial site, 107.9 FM. Hear Greg Rubel on the call there. All right, so there you go. That is the game plan for tonight. If you want to watch BYU, actually today and tonight, watch some softball this morning, followed up with more softball in the afternoon, and then cap your night with some late night hoops with men's basketball. There's a big opportunity to support the Cougars on a Thursday. Get out and support them, watch them, cheer for them, do everything you need to do as a BYU fan. We'll be back tomorrow recapping all of it for you, and we'll be getting ready for a weekend full of BYU basketball. Also, some additional thoughts on BYU football, as we always do right here on the podcast. Thanks again for joining me. This has been Locked On Cougars for February 7th, 2019.